Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, The Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search The Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Final hour of power right here on this Wednesday night edition of Overtime. We're tapped in the youngest in Charles and O'Willingham, taking you up to 10 o'clock right now. Talk a little round ball. Hit the hardwood for the first time in a long time is where we find our pal Chase Hughes out on the guest hotline. She followed Chase Hughes' work on every social media platform at Chase DC Sports, one of the absolute best. Talking all things Washington Wizards. Chase, what's going on, brother? How are you?
Surprised we're talking before media day has even arrived.
I'm about to say, man, look, it's getting late early is what I would say as far as football season goes. Injuries piling up. Hopefully the team can get right Sunday in Atlanta. Will Dawkins spoke to the media today. Couple of things that stood out to me. He said he asked every player this offseason how he wants the Wizards to be described and their play style, so on and so forth. Your takeaways from him asking the team that, and then what you expect to see from the 2025 Wizards.
Yeah, so that was really interesting. I went into that press conference and I'm going into the season kind of expecting that there's going to be a lot more competition on the roster for rotation roles.
Yeah.
Basically, the last 2 years, they've drafted guys and thrown them out there and allowed them to play as many minutes as they can handle and take as many shots as they want, essentially, and play through mistakes. But now there's so many young players that on the roster and so many recent draft picks, a lot of which they have made, the new front office, that there's inevitably going to be some competition among those guys. Like, they can't play all of them in a given night if everyone's healthy. And so what you alluded to was Will Dawkins kind of pulled the curtain back and talked about a meeting he had with the players where he was talking about how it's going to be a more competitive environment this year. And he said that basically a lot of the roles, especially last year, were given, not earned. And that's not going to be the case this year. The guys are going to have to earn their roles. And he even was a little bit more direct than that with one of his comments. He said, "You guys see these rookies over here," meaning like Alex Saar, Bub Carrington, Keyshawn George. He was like, "They played a lot of minutes last year. Who's going to take those minutes for them?" Essentially, like issuing a challenge to the rest of the team to go take those guys' spot. And he, suggested that he said that in front of them. So I think that really set a tone for this year where these guys are going to have to compete with each other. And I think that matches my expectation going into the year. You mentioned my expectation. I figured it'd be a competitive environment. I didn't think he was going to be as direct as he was in describing it.
Chase, I'm fired up. You've been on with us not even 2.5 minutes yet, and I'm fired up because of that. That's what you want to hear. I know teams Chase, understand where we're at in this rebuild, and we knew when Mike Winger and Will Dawkins and Travis Schlenk and company got to town that they were going to take their lumps. Competition is one of those things, Chase, that you can kind of build a culture around. And if that is the culture and foundation that they're trying to set, I think only good things can come from that. You mentioned there is going to be a logjam in a couple of different spots. And I guess competition is going to influence this answer from you, Chase. When you consider the injury situation, and we'll get to that in a second, who do you think is going to be the opening day starting five, the opening night starting five for DC?
Yeah, well, Bilal Coulibaly, speaking of injuries, he's not going to be ready opening night, so we can cross him off that list.
Right.
I think it's probably going to be Bub Carrington and CJ McCollum in the backcourt. I think Chris Middleton, especially with the Bilal injury, I feel pretty safe putting him in the starting lineup. And I also feel pretty good about putting Keyshawn George in the starting lineup. He has been really impressive all summer. I think anyone who watched the summer league could see that he's gearing up for a good sophomore season. And then I'll put Alex Saar at the five. So that would be the starting five. But one quick thing on competition you mentioned, I think that's an important ingredient that eventually was going to have to be part of this equation. And it reminds me of Jason Tatum was on a podcast, I think, last summer, and he explained how after his rookie year, the Celtics, they signed Gordon Hayward in free agency. And his immediate thought was he reached out to his agent and said, I want to request a trade.
Get me the hell out of here.
Yeah, and it never happened.
Right.
And we all know what actually happened is that Gordon Hayward suffered a catastrophic injury early in that next season, and Jason Tatum was thrust back into the spotlight. But he felt like he had to earn his role, and that's Jason Tatum, who was the third overall pick who came in from Duke and you know, was obviously a very decorated player. So I think it's always good to make guys earn things rather than give them to them, and that's what the Wizards are trying to do this year.
I am all on board with it. Got the chance to catch up with Will Dawkins out at Commanders training camp, and he echoed some of these same sentiments. Competition everywhere all the time is the mantra that they're trying to live by. You mentioned Bilal Coulibaly going to be out the first couple of weeks of the season. Any update on where things stand with Alex Saar? I know he's someone else that got a little nicked up during their national team play. An update on his injury status and then your expectations for him as we get geared up for his sophomore season.
Yeah, so both guys got hurt playing for Team France in Eurobasket. And Alex Saar was shut down with a calf injury that was described as pretty minor, but it was pretty close to training camp when it happened. Yeah. And, you know, a calf injury that is, in an area of the body that's near the Achilles, near the knee. So you want to make sure you get that right. And the Wizards, they don't expect to be contending for a title this year or anything. So I think they can take their time with Alex Saar. But the news was essentially that Alex Saar is not going to be ready for the beginning of training camp. But it sounds like he'll be ready when they open the season on October 22nd. But this is something that is going to linger into training camp. So we'll see how quickly he can get back to 100%. He's got plenty of time, about a month until the regular season starts. But, obviously, ideally, he'd get out there for some preseason games first.
Will Dawkins spoke about, this being a big year for Bilal, big year, going to be a big year for Cam Whitmore as well. And we'll touch on him here in a second. I look at Tristan Vukovic and the opportunity that he has, especially with Alex Saar being on the shelf to start. There are going to be plenty of available minutes at that five spot for Vooch. What do you think of that young man and the way he was able to progress throughout the course of last year?
Yeah, certainly not someone to forget about if you're a Wizards fan.
Right.
He's played generally toward the end of these last two seasons, right? He spent some time with the Go-Go. But if you look at the numbers he's compiled through his career so far, he's been really efficient.
Yeah.
And, we saw last year, I think, when he really started to hit his stride, he could come in and he could score a lot of points in a hurry. So I think the offense is starting to live up to the hype, in terms of what people thought he would be when he was drafted coming over from Europe. The defense isn't quite there yet. I think that's something that the Wizards are looking for, but they felt like he made strides last year. They'd like to see him, continue to do things like rebound and set screens better. But I think he's got a chance to carve out a decently long NBA career because he can score and he can shoot, especially for his size. He's just a pretty decent outside shooter, but he's really crafty in the mid-range and around the rim. He's got great touch. So I think the path is there this season for him to play a decent amount of minutes with the NBA club because they re-signed Marvin Bagley III, but there's not as much depth at that position as there is at guard and wing. So I think the path is there for Vucevic to make a name for himself this year, and maybe the Saar injury could further open the door for him. But I think the opportunity is going to be there, and he finished last season strong. I think he's going to have a chance to build on that this season.
I totally agree with you. This is kind of a question that kind of layers itself into this. Will talked about just the upgrades that they have made to the facility, allowing their player development to then be better. Are you privy to any of these upgrades that have been made? And then How do you expect it to help the player development, kind of what Will was talking about?
Yeah, so there's been renovations going on at Capital One Arena that everyone knows about, right? But there's also been renovations at the practice facility in Southeast D.C. So first of all, with the arena, you know, they're renovating Capital One Arena over the course of three summers. And the first summer, which, you know, I've been walking past and through the construction site just about every day, I've been seeing the progress. But what I haven't seen is what's going to affect the players directly. They're going to have a locker room that is like four times the size of the one that they've been living, you know, operating in for many years. They're going to have all sorts of space for players to, you know, get treatment on their bodies before and after games, hot tubs, cold tubs, that sort of stuff. And then at the practice facility, they have redesigned some things. I think one detail in particular is like the Capital City Go-Go will now have a more dedicated locker room. They had been dealing with sort of temporary spaces because that building was shared with the Mystics.
Right.
It also hosted, you know, college games and that sort of stuff. So the Capital City Go-Go will get more of a dedicated space. And the Capital City Go-Go, their G League affiliate, is going to be more important this year. Will Dawkins said that today, that, you know, with the depth they have in young players, they're going to find the Go-Go more necessary than they have in years past. You know, they haven't sent many of their draft picks down to the Go-Go. Vucevic went down there each of the last 2 years. He was a second-round pick. But last year, like Keyshawn George, the 24th overall pick, he spent the entire time in the NBA. I don't know if that's going to be the case for, like, a Will Riley, who was the 21st pick in the draft, or Jameer Watkins, who was the second-round pick. Like, there may not be room in the NBA rotation for these guys to get the allotment of minutes that they want them to have, which is, like, 2,000-plus minutes over the course of the full season. So I think there's a chance we could see some of these guys who were drafted by the team playing for the Go-Go, and when they do, they'll find that there's much better resources than there were last year.
I want to let you go on this, Chase, as we're up against the 45 seconds or less. If there's one guy you're circling going, I want to follow him game 1 through 82 to see how he develops over the course of the year, who would that be for you?
Keyshawn George. You know, I've told this story a couple times. It was last year preseason, standing under the basket at Capital One Arena. A friend of mine who's a scout for an Eastern Conference team came up to me and was like, Keyshawn George is the best young player the Wizards have. And I was like, well, of the rookies? He was like, all of them. Bilal Coulibaly, all of them. And this was before Keyshawn George had even played an NBA game.
Wow.
But he had an impressive rookie season. He looked like their best player in the summer league. The only thing he didn't do last year well was shoot at a high percentage, but we know he can do that because he did that in college. He's done it every step of the way. I think he's going to have a big year.
Chase, we appreciate you as always. First of many appointments throughout the course of the Wizards season. I will see you Monday, my guy.
Absolutely. Look forward to it, man. Thanks.
Yes, indeed. The absolute best. Talking all things DC Hoops. Our pal Chase Hughes. Give him a follow on the X app at Chase DC Sports. We'll take a quick timeout when we come back. Take a spin around the National Football League next year on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Want to take a spin around the National Football League here real quick. Thursday Night Football kicks off week number 4 tomorrow on Amazon Prime. A little NFC West tilt between the Cardinals and Seahawks. And those of you out there that do not pay attention to anything outside of the nation's capital, the Cardinals and Seahawks both 2-1, both looking like pretty formidable teams within the NFC. Heading into tomorrow night, Devon Witherspoon going to be back for the Seattle Seahawks, one of the best young corners in all the National Football League. Sam Darnold's playing the quarterback position right now as well as anybody in the NFL, so I've got supreme confidence in that guy. Washington plays Seattle later on in the year, and I am interested in that matchup. That's
This is 1.5 tomorrow.
1.5?
Yeah.
In favor of who?
Seattle.
Jump on that. I'd alt spread it. Go -3. They're gonna beat the tar out of the Cardinals tomorrow. Watch. Cardinals is soft, bro.
That is true.
It's in Seattle too?
No, it's in Arizona.
Oh, it's in AZ.
Yeah, that's probably why it's that low.
It's probably why it's that low. You're right. Yeah,
You know who's going crazy though?
Who's going crazy?
Jackson Smith and Jigba.
Yeah, he's been a real number one. Him and Sam Darnold have built a nice rapport with one another. Mike McDonald has that defense flying around as well as anybody in the NFL. Seattle, what they did to Pittsburgh, first of all, they should be 3-0. They completely coughed the football game away at home in the opener against Brock Purdy and the Niners. But the way that they played against Pittsburgh, they have just beat people up front. Clint Kubiak, new offensive coordinator there. They want to run the football. Zach Charbonnet, K-9, they're getting it done. The rookie, Torrey Horton, had a kick return tud last weekend. He's starting to come around. It's this defense, though, for the Seahawks. Like, that has been the driving force.
The Saints suck, but, like, dropping 44 on
Saturday. Like, that's something. We're scoring special teams, touchdowns, and so on and so forth. It was impressive. What we saw from them on Sunday. We've talked about defense here. They have not allowed a rushing touchdown all year. Talking about the Seattle Seahawks. They're 7th in the NFL.
That's crazy.
In terms of rushing yards per game. In terms of rushing yards per play allowed, they're 3rd in the National Football League. Their pass defense, spearheaded by Tariq Woolen, who has missed the last 2 weeks. They're really good in that category as well. Actually not as good in that category, but they're 20th, but like giving up 220 passing yards a game is nothing.
I think JSN has 100 yards per game.
Yeah, he is right. He's went over 100 each and every week. Their offense, I like what they have because they're a balanced group. They're not asking Sam Darnold to drop back 35, 40 times per game. They get it going on the ground with Kenneth Walker and with Zach Charbonnet, and they just play a physical brand of football where they're not afraid to go punch people in the face. I know the numbers may not suggest that they're an elite rushing club, but with that offensive line and those two backs, I think they're as good as any team in the NFC. I think people are asleep on the Seahawks, totally.
So better than last year?
They're better than last year is how I would put it.
Okay.
Sam Darnold's had like a career renaissance here, man. He actually looks like a bona fide starting quarterback in the National Football League. That is what will kick off the Week 4 slate tomorrow on Thursday Night Football.
You think that the Vikings should have got rid of him?
I guess hindsight is 20/20, but the way that J.J. McCarthy has looked.
J.J. sucks.
You take out the fourth quarter against Chicago, and he has been bad. Yeah. Point blank. That's not a bad thing, though, I guess, if you're Minnesota, because the rest of your roster is ready to go. I think they thought it would be a plug-and-play situation.
But he can't give the ball to Jefferson. That's the
problem. That's a problem.
He can't throw.
That's the problem.
And he didn't throw in college either.
He was the
handoff merchant.
He's the passenger. I call Jalen Hurts of the Eagles the passenger. That's my nickname for him. There are bus drivers. There are passengers.
Yeah.
Those two quarterbacks we just listed, both passengers. As far as the other big-time games on the slate, poor Jackson Dart. Getting thrown into the fire against one of the league's best defenses. Jesse Minter has that Chargers defense flying all around the place.
I'm shocked.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. They're 6.5-point favorites. Eagles and Bucks, probably my favorite game in the 1 o'clock window coming up on Sunday. Philly's dealing with a bunch of injuries. They just put Ja'Corian Bennett, their corner, as well as Nolan Smith, their edge rusher. Both of those guys going on injured reserve. So interested to see how that is going to play out.
That's 3.5.
Yeah, that's 3.5.
That's actually more surprising.
That's that low?
It's in Tampa.
It's in Tampa, yeah.
And Baker's going crazy.
Bucks are banged up. Mike Evans not going to play in this one. So I kind of get that.
He's not even their wide receiver one anymore.
I mean, you're still going to respect Mike Evans. But, yeah, to your point, Emeka Egbuka has been the guy. 4 o'clock window's got some goodies in it as well. Ravens-Chiefs, always a good one. 2-1-2 teams that are desperate for a victory. But my favorite game in this window, Colts and Rams. Rams 3.5-point favorites at home. Colts have been unbelievable to this point. Jonathan Taylor, Daniel Jones playing good ball. But Lou Anarumo on that defense is really what's been the difference maker to me. I think I may go with the Colts on Sunday. My only question is, do the Colts have guys, two dudes on the perimeter that can stick Puka and Tay Adams? And I don't think they do. So that would, you know, have me leaning towards the Rams. So, I don't know. It's going to be interesting. Ravens-Chiefs is another one.
That's what I thought you were going to say.
Yeah. It's, but I don't, until the Ravens can show they can stop somebody, I don't know how I could buy them as a legitimate team. And then Kansas City's offense has not looked good, no. But Pat Mahomes is playing pretty well.
Right.
We'll take a quick timeout. We got Trevor Sikkema of Pro Football Focus going to join us coming up here momentarily. But let's take a pause, and we'll come back and wrap this thing up here.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
One final segment before we are joined by our pal Trevor Sikkema of Pro Football Focus. Wanted to continue to run through the Sunday slate, or the Week 4 slate. Week 4 gets started tomorrow. Thursday Night Football, Cardinals and Seattle from Glendale. Little NFC West tilt. We get our first international series game this weekend. NFL takes on Dublin, Ireland. Vikings and Steelers, Carson Wentz getting introduced to the Dublin folks.
Is that a place you want to visit one day?
No. dude, the Vikings are 2.5-point favorites. They think that Brian Flores is going to put Aaron Rodgers and company in the blender. That's what that spread reads. That Vikings defense ain't no joke, but I don't think that.
No chance.
I don't think that they beat Pittsburgh. See, this is why I suck at gambling. Why I don't gamble, because I'm broke, for one. And for two, I'm just not very good at it. If you were to tell me to bet on the Vikings on Sunday, I'd be like, what the hell is wrong with you?
Why would I do that after I just saw JJ play?
Right, but they're gonna, it'll be Carson on Sunday.
That's right,
so.
That's right.
But Carson didn't look much better last week for the Vikings.
How long is he out?
JJ's probably out another 2 or 3 weeks.
That's tough because he was out all year.
They beat the hell out of Cincy, but Cincy is just not Pittsburgh. Cincy was playing without Burrow. I don't know, man. What they did on offense was impressive. Talking about Minnesota, it was ground and pound. Maybe that's why they're favored, because the run defense of the Pittsburgh Steelers has been very un-Steeler-like. To start the season, these numbers, obviously, via our friends at NFL Pro. Pittsburgh Steelers, right now, in terms of their run defense, 7th worst in the National Football League. They're giving up 139 yards per game on the ground. In terms of explosive runs allowed, they're tied for 2nd. So they're getting ran all over. And I think that's what Vegas is seeing here. Jordan Mason last weekend went into... or at home against Cincy and ran right through him. Cincy don't got no damn defense, though. I don't believe that the Vikings are just going to run the ball that well against everyone. Week 2 against the Falcons when they lost 22-6, they couldn't muster a damn thing on the ground. So, and then they couldn't stop the run of Bijan Robinson. So, and Tyler Allgeier, for that matter. They ran for, damn, look, these numbers were crazy.
I mean, they did give up a lot of points against the Jets.
39 carries for 218 yards, 6 yards a pop for ATL against the Vikings. So maybe it is Caleb Johnson time for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Want to continue to take a spin around the National Football League next. Our pal Trevor Sikkema, a Pro Football Focus, is going to join us. We'll touch on Sunday's matchup against Atlanta, plus take a spin around the National Football League. Coming up next. Welcome back. It's overtime here on 106.7 The Fan. We're always live and free on the Odyssey app. You're tapped in to the youngest of Charles and L. Willingham. We're riding with you for one final segment. Our guy Trevor Sikkema ready for us. Lead draft analyst for PFF. Co-host of the NFL Stock Exchange show. You can check him out on YouTube as well with a guy Dalton Wasserman doing game breakdowns each and every Monday as they go around the National Football League. Tampa Bay, Trey, what's going on, brother? How are you?
Well, I know. It's always good to be with you, man. Appreciate you having me on.
Yes, indeedy, my brother. We were talking about the Jackson Dart story before we brought you on, my friend. I mean, would you have waited to go up against maybe the Saints and let Russell Wilson get swallowed alive by Harbaugh's defense or what?
You know, I actually said this on the PFF show a couple of days ago. I actually would make the change this week. And I completely agree with what you're saying. It's not ideal going up against Jesse Minter. I mean, not only is this one of the best defenses in the NFL, it's one of the most fundamentally sound defenses in the NFL. The Chargers as a whole have the least amount of total negatively graded plays of any team in the NFL. I think they're bottom three, so meaning a good thing, in penalties. This is just a team that does not beat themselves, that makes you really put pressure on them. And if you beat the Chargers defense, they basically will tip their hat to you and say, hey, all right, good job. But they're not gonna ruin the game themselves. And so it's a tough matchup this week. There's no doubt about it. But you do at least get the Saints the following week. And then the problem is they go Philadelphia, Broncos, Philadelphia. And so like that's ultimately what you did not want to do. Is if you were even thinking about making this change, you kind of have to make it now so that he'll at least get 2 weeks before that gauntlet of a stretch with those three games.
I agree with you. It makes more sense when you layer it that way. Holy hell. That's a murderous row. The one thing about the Eagles is maybe Malik Nabers can find a favorable matchup as they've had some issues covering number one wide receivers. Let's go from one rookie quarterback to another. Brian Callahan announcing earlier he's going to hand over the play-calling duties. What did you make of that decision, and what have you made of their passing offense through the first 3 weeks with Cam Ward?
Yeah, you know, I think Cam's doing some really good things. You know, honestly, this is probably the worst roster on paper in the NFL, and so it's hard for me to really think that the Titans were going to be super competitive this year. It was really, in my opinion, just all about Cam and really allowing him to give you those bright spots. I said before the season, I think the Titans are in for another top five draft pick this year, but I felt as though, you know, the two or three wins that they were going to get this year were going to surprise some people, and it was really just going to be Cam Ward magic, and we were going to go into next year going, hey, at least they got the quarterback right. The problem for Callahan now at this point is there's not a guarantee that he's going to be there next year. And I would have thought that that was crazy because I didn't really think that he was brought in for Will Levis specifically. Right. I felt like Will Levis was sort of this, you know, risk-free bet for him. And really, he was hired for whoever the franchise quarterback was going to be that they were going to get it over the next couple of years. And it ends up being Cam Ward. And it's kind of crazy for me to think that they'd pull the plug on Callahan after 1 year. But the problem is, it's not that the team's not good. It's that the team's undisciplined. They have the most penalties called against them in the NFL. They have the most penalties accepted against them in the NFL. They are bottom 10 in the NFL. They might even be bottom 5 in the NFL in drops for their wide receivers. And then, of course, you've got the blunder at the end of the first half this past week against the Colts where they don't get it on 3rd and 2. Okay, the Colts call a timeout because they think they're getting the ball back with 42 seconds left in the first half. Tennessee doesn't really know what to do. They go for it. They kick a field goal. Okay, all of a sudden they trot the field goal unit out there. Then it's a delay of game. So now they're 5 yards back. So it just went from a 57-yard field goal to a 62-yard field goal. They kick it. They miss it. The Colts immediately get into field goal range, and they get 3 points out of it. Yeah. I mean, that's a disaster class of how you handle the end of the first half. And so, like, you as a coach, even independent of a bad roster, you cannot be the most undisciplined team in the league. You cannot have all of these focus mishaps. And you've got to be sharper in the analytical and decision-making parts of the game. And unfortunately for Brian Callahan, he's kind of striking out in all three categories. And so this is almost like a, hey, I need to give up play calling because if I don't get the rest of this stuff right as a head coach, I'm not going to be here next year.
I think that's an accurate assessment. I was not familiar with just how undisciplined that group was. I know they've been relatively competitive for the first couple of weeks outside of last week where it kind of got out of hand for them, but who knows, man? I'm a big fan of Cam Ward. I know you are based off of the stuff you were doing pre-draft. So Godspeed to him, and hopefully they can figure it out in Tennessee. Staying in the South, how are the Texans 0-3?
Man, it's the offensive line's bad, right? And that was the big talking point for them heading into the season. You move on from Laremy Tunsil, and, you know, when you trade him, I think everybody was up in arms because – he was the only offensive lineman on the team who had a season-long overall blocking grade above 70. So, like, not even like, oh, above 75, above 78, like guys who were, like, obviously really good. No, just, I mean, above sort of passable of what you would want from an offensive lineman. He was the only one last year. You trade him, and the reasoning is that they gave, I guess, to try to save themselves is like, oh, well, you know, he wasn't really the leader in the locker room that we wanted for the young guys. And it's like, oh, okay, I suppose I get that because you want to build the right culture. But at the same time, you're right in the middle of the most valuable thing in the world, and that is having a franchise quarterback on a rookie contract.
Right.
And it's almost like they're just punting another year away, and they're going to have to pay C.J. Stroud probably this offseason or the next one at the very least. So you've now wasted his rookie contract with an offensive line and an offense that just wasn't ready. It looked like it was ready his rookie year, and it's only taken steps back since then. So I think the offensive line is struggling. I think Nick Caley, their offensive coordinator, who was the pass game coordinator for the Los Angeles Rams last year, now he's the offensive coordinator taking over for Bobby Slowick this year. I think he's still just kind of trying to figure it out because, you know, watching that Bucs game, that goal-to-go series that they were playing on Monday Night Football. I mean, like that was tough to watch. I mean, there was not really a lot of synergy. There was not a lot of, I would say, logic in a lot of the plays that they called. And obviously they go all the way to fourth down and they don't even convert and they don't get any points out of it. They end up losing that game. I'm watching this past week as well, and you've got passing concepts that I'm like, I don't really know how these passing concepts are complementary to your offensive line. Like, you got to be calling stuff that's getting the ball out of C.J. Stroud's hands a lot quicker. And he's just not doing that. And so because of that, C.J. Stroud's becoming a little bit more gun-shy. He is not as confident as he was over the previous couple of years. And so the defense, I think, is still playing well. Now, are they playing as well as they were last year? No, not yet, but it kind of happens. You know, like the Broncos are the same way. They're not as dominant as they were last year. I still think that's there for them, but that's how you get to 0-3. The offense cannot move the ball. They cannot score points. And unfortunately, there's no cavalry coming for that offensive line. So it's a run game that's non-existent. They can't really pass block. C.J. Stroud second-guessing himself, and you got a play caller and a play designer who's doing this for the first time. And I think that's how you get to them being 0-3 at this point.
So sticking in this division, Colts 3-0, Jags 2-1, picking off every quarterback that's on their schedule. Which one of those two teams you buying more?
I buy the Colts more, honestly. And I like the potential of the Jags. Their defense is obviously flying around. I was wrong about the signing of Jordan Lewis for them. I thought that was going to be a little bit redundant. Yeah. And you're right. He has been amazing for them. This past game specifically, he was awesome. Playing with a ton of confidence. I love that. Anthony Campanelli is doing a great job there. Liam Cohen has that run game, you know, operating real well. I think the people, when they think about Liam Cohen, they think about the passing game with him. But in reality, Tampa's run game was phenomenal last year, especially during the second half of the season with him as the offensive coordinator. And so him being able to really revive that Jags run game already, that's a really great sign. I think things will come along for Trevor Lawrence, but I think that this team could certainly be an above 500 team, be a potential wild card team. Ultimately, though, I've got to go with the Colts because – they have not given me a single reason to doubt them at this point. Daniel Jones is playing unbelievably efficient, and I don't even say that as like a backhanded compliment. Like, he is playing well. The thing about Jones, a lot of people go, well, you know, like, how does this compare to, you know, what Sam Darnold was last year? Is he the new Sam Darnold? The thing is, Lynnell, if you look at the metrics that you would want to measure for a question like that, the metrics would be passing grade under pressure, passing grade on money down, so third and fourth down, average depth of target, right, and how often he is passing it beyond the sticks on third down to convert a first down. He is better than Sam Darnold in all of those categories, all of them. He's better this year. Now, it's a three-game sample size compared to a 17-game sample size that Sam Darnold has, so he's got to keep this up. But, like, yeah, not only is he this year's Sam Darnold, he's better than what Darnold was last year with the Vikings. And so with an offensive line that's blocking their ass off and Jonathan Taylor running it the way that he is, the defense is at least playing well enough right now under Lou Anarumo. I mean, I got a lot of faith in this team. I'd like Shane Steichen as a head coach. It was going to be disappointing if he was going to get fired at the end of the year because I think it was just tough circumstances for him. But it sure looks like he's going from maybe being fired to perhaps the coach of the year at the end of the year, the way the Colts are playing.
Strong stuff from our guy Trevor Sikkema. We'll let you go on a couple of quick hitters here. We'll go rapid fire. Kevin O'Connell, non-committal to going back to J.J. McCarthy once he is healthy. How do you think that plays out?
Yeah, I mean, he has to be, right? I mean, J.J. played two very, very poor games. If you take out that fourth quarter against the Bears, he was the worst quarterback in football through 2 weeks. So I think that you would be doing a disservice to your team and the rest of your roster if you actively went to a worse quarterback. I think that Carson Wentz can manage things, much like we've seen bridge quarterbacks be able to do in the past. And I think it'll be J.J.'s time eventually, but that might not be the second that he is healthy. Right. And I think I need to tell everybody out there that that is okay. It still means that he could be a good quarterback in this league, even if he's not starting right away in week five or week six.
From one sophomore quarterback to another, what's going on in Atlanta, and do you think they can get right against Washington Sunday?
Yeah, I think that, you know, this past week was it was a lot of compounding issues. And I think the big thing with Penix is, right now, he is too good at throwing to the sidelines. He's not good enough at throwing over the middle.
Yeah.
And right now, I think that the Panthers kind of figured that out a little bit. They baited him a little bit last week. Obviously, the turnovers, anytime you have a pick six and you lose a turnover battle, like, it's not going to go well for you anyways. I think that the Falcons were a really good team in week one and week two, or a really nice team, I should say. Not like a really good team, but they were a good team. They were a competitive team. And week three was just a down year for them. And it's early in the season. It's a week-to-week league, as every single NFL player and coach will tell you. And I think the Falcons will be fine, but it was always going to be a high-variance season for them and a roller coaster week to week. So they'll have good weeks, they'll have stinkers, and unfortunately last week was just kind of a stinker for them.
We'll let you out on this real quick. Thursday Night Football, Cardinals and Seahawks, I believe, coming up. Of those two teams, who are you buying more?
Seahawks. I had the Seahawks winning that division, actually.
Wow.
And the reason why I did is I had the Seahawks winning the division. And to be fair, I didn't know what to do with Stafford's back. Back was fully healthy, probably would have gone with the Rams. But I like the Seahawks a lot. I think it's a really good football team. I can't trust the Cardinals right now. I really can't.
Yeah.
They're a team that can play up to any competition, but unfortunately, they're also a team that can play down to any competition every single week. They've got to figure out how to throw the ball down the field. 4.4 yards per attempt average last week. You're never going to win in the NFL if that is your stat line. And so right now I cannot trust the Cardinals. I know they're at home on Thursday. I cannot believe the Seahawks are getting a point. At least it started off. The line started off with that, them getting a point and a half. But I'm much more in on the Seahawks.
Yeah, their defense flying around as well. Tampa Bay Trey, Trevor Sikkema of Pro Football Focus, kind enough to join us. Trey, we appreciate you, brother.
Yeah, appreciate it, Lionel. Anytime, my friend.
That is our guy, Trevor Sikkema. Give him a follow on the X app at Tampa Bay Trey. Always love catching up with our guy, Trevor Sikkema of Pro Football Focus, one of the smartest NFL minds in the business. That's going to do it, though, here for this Wednesday night edition of Overtime. If you want to keep the conversation going with me on social media, very, very easy thing to do. Same handle on each and every social media platform. It is at @NELL_BTP. Thank you to Super Producer Wes behind the glass taking your calls. Thank you to Trevor Sikkema. Thank you to Sports Doc Evan Jeffries. Thank you to JP Finley for joining the program. And thanks for your calls. The Infinity Sports Network comes your way next. Oh, and by the way, you can catch me tomorrow, 4 to 7, on the Team 980 on the Burgundy and Gold today. Be well.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.